This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Ah, can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
And it is time to head out to the Toyota of Hollywood Hotline Shop. Over 2,000 Toyotas on sale at one location, Toyota of Hollywood on 441 between Hollywood and Sheridan, toyotaofhollywood.com.
You know, when it comes to the draft and this Miami Dolphin team, which we've been talking a lot about, and probably a lot of people not real excited about some of the conversation this morning, but Kyle Crabbs, Locked On Fins podcast, as well as a lot of other things, joins us. Kyle, good morning, man. And I started with this morning of like, Kendall Fuller's gone now, so you need a cornerback. That becomes more of a priority with just Jalen, Kahu, and Storm Duck. I'm guessing Kahu will end up here as a restricted free agent. But there's a lot of different ways you could go on this thing, and you can't really get mad at anybody.
Yeah. I agree with you about Kader Kohou first and foremost. They have an interesting decision about if they want to do an actual extension with him or if they just want to do a restricted free agent tender with him. The lowest tender is not really an option because it would be for an original round draft pick, but he wasn't drafted. He was an undrafted free agent. So that's an interesting one that I'm going to wait and see how they choose to tackle it. But I would definitely say right now they made the decision to make another vacancy on the depth chart for some future and long-term salary cap savings. And I think that should give you a little bit of a clue about, despite the pressure to win, there's probably some focus of long-term health here as well, because that's what a move like that kind of suggests to me.
Well, yeah, and you've got these draft picks. We've been talking seven picks in the first five rounds. And how important it's going to be to get starters, because you just can't do everything in free agency. You just can't expect to get quality or guys that have broken down here recently. So I want to ask you about this one. This one's really been bothering me. So Teron Armstead's really good, and there's no question about it.
Yeah.
Everybody seems to think he wants to come back and play. Played 15 games this year, finished, I think, 13 of the 15 games. Patrick Paul, second round pick, got three starts, had some good, had some bad, had some growing pains. How do you handle that if Teron does come back and they can come to some type of agreement with him redoing that contract?
Well, I think you'd have to continue to look at the salary. And the Dolphins just did that with Teron last year, where they came to an agreement on an adjusted salary and put some more money in incentives for being active on game day. I'd really be surprised, though, Joe, and Teron's still one of the better tackles in football, but at some point, if you're making some hard decisions based on, you know, short-term and long-term considerations, this is why you draft a guy like Patrick Paul. And like, I don't think you can really sit here and play the game and try to move him inside with his build and his frame and how raw he is. Yeah, he could play right tackle, but I thought almost all of his worst reps last year came at right tackle. He was a four-year starter at left tackle at Houston. So, you know, you can transition away from Teron and save almost $4.5 million in cap space if you do it right off the jump, and then that clears $23 million in cap space for 2026. You have a succession plan in place here. You just made that kind of decision with Kendall Fuller without a succession plan in place. And I get that Teron Armstead's a different caliber of player because he's a much better player. He's one of the best left tackles in the game. But with the lack of continuity and consistency and guys starting games and finish games and how many games is he going to start, I find myself leaning towards, I would prefer to see you lean into Patrick Paul being your starting left tackle and make that transition, because at some point you got to start taking some of the exit ramps that you built in for yourself on some of these big contracts.
I always just feel like Chris and the gang over there, they go, well, let's wait. We can wait on this one. You know, we don't have to rush him in there. You know, I don't know if that's enough. And Teron, I think the other part of this is Teron is such a great leader with this group. And by the way, I think including, I'll get right to it, I think he's one of the few guys Tyreek Hill listens to when he says, hey, man, not cool. I think it worked with Teron Armstead. I think he respects him.
Yeah, that's the part of this that definitely needs to be foiled. And I think maybe you can offset some of that with the kind of guys that you choose to bring in. Are you going to draft a couple of offensive linemen with the intent that they're going to be starters for you? Are you going to go out and get guys that have played in free agency and are a little bit longer in the tooth with experience but aren't end-stage career players that are one-year Band-Aids? Like, maybe you can offset some of that in that regard, but that's the biggest loss I think you're facing with Teron is I think Patrick Paul's going to be okay from a talent perspective at left tackle, but Teron with his experience, with his leadership, with the mentorship that he's had over all these young guys, there's no question. I think that's one of the biggest inherent values that he brings to the team outside of just going out there and playing left tackle.
Kyle, you've seen the draft, 13, 48, 98, 115, 135, 151, 156. That's where you're picking through five rounds and seven picks. How many starters? I mean pure starters. Should we be able to get out of that knowing we need a lot of starters we don't have on this roster right now because of free agency?
Yeah, I think you could probably aspire to get three. I think that's reasonable that each one of your top 100 picks you could potentially land a starter. Now, if you're going to draft a nose tackle type player who's technically a starter but more of like a 35-40% of snaps total played on defense, you could probably find a guy like that in the fourth round. So some of this depends on how the value shakes out versus how they grade out the prospects on the board. But if you're making picks with 48 and 13, those guys, I think you just need to do a good enough job of giving yourself some level of floor in all your position rooms so that whenever the draft comes, you can just let the talent come to you and not be painted into a corner and say, well, we need two safeties. We didn't sign any of free agency, so we have to draft one with the first two picks. Because if the board doesn't fall well, now you're taking a lesser player.
Kyle, can you ever remember a time the Dolphins may need two guards and two safeties? And I'm talking about starters if Javon Holland turns to free agency like most people think he is.
No, I can't. I don't necessarily know that it's a bad thing based on the performance of the majority of the players in those two rooms, though. So there's a lot of focus on snaps that this team took last year that are on expiring contracts, and you have four players in those two rooms alone that were your majority snap takers with over 75% of the snaps played for each one of those four guys. And Javon Holland, I think, has a bright future ahead of him. I think the last 2 years have not been the best football that he's played. Whether that comes in Miami or elsewhere remains to be seen. I think he's going to have a pretty good market, but I also think there's enough options out there at safety that if he prices himself out of your range, I feel pretty good about your ability to get a guy. And look, there's guys like Quandre Diggs and Justin Simmons that were unsigned until late July last year, and they signed for less than $6 million each. And I think it's a good safety class. And, you know, the guard class isn't like what it was last year where everybody spent like crazy, but I think that probably plays into Miami's favor to find some guys that are good fits, and it really shouldn't be hard to upgrade over those two rooms and those two spots in each of those two rooms.
I've been hearing more and more about, from our fan base, Javon Holland, Javon Holland, Jalen Ramsey moving to safety. You think that happens at some point? We've seen physical corners in the past go to safety and keep their careers going. I don't think it happens now because they're so shorthanded and he's so good at what he does. But could you see that down the road, Ramsey going to safety?
Yeah, I could certainly see that as a long-term pathway for him to maintaining playing at a very high level. But as you said, you know, last year, the matchups with Garrett Wilson aside when they played the Jets, I thought he did a really nice job throughout the season. And I think he still has plenty of juice left in the tank at corner. So I don't think that conversation comes just yet because, as you said, you'd be patching a knee to safety, and in return, you'd be opening another knee to corner. And he really hasn't played as much nickel as I kind of thought that he would when he came over from the Rams. So I'll be interested to see if they get a little bit more interchangeability with some of the corners, guys to tackle with consistency. Maybe like the ball production wasn't good for Kendall Fuller last year. I feel like he slowed down in the second half of the season as a couple injuries added up for him, and he looked like an older corner down the stretch. I'll be interested to see if, especially with Anthony Weaver now back, you get more Ramsey moving around the defense, because I think that's where the meat is on the bone for him right now as compared to moving back and playing safety fullback.
Well, speaking of that, what do you think team thinks of Storm Duck off of what you saw as a rookie free agent now going into year two? I mean, he had his good times and obviously had some rough ones too later in the year. What do you think?
I see what there is to like about Storm Duck. And I'm going to use an eggs in basket joke, and with Storm, it's not meant to be a pun, but excuse me, I'm going to do it anyway. I think if you put a bunch of eggs in the Storm Duck basket this offseason, I think you're doing yourself a disservice for your cornerback room. As a guy who's an undrafted free agent who had the kind of ups and downs that he did, that Packers showing is a really rough game for him, and it was in a big spot. I think you need to protect yourself, and, you know, there were a couple other guys in the preseason that showcased themselves well as undrafted free agent rookies as well, in Jason Maitre at nickel, and Isaiah Johnson was the other undrafted free agent corner. So I got some competition there. Ethan Bonner, Cam Smith, I don't know that the switch is going to flip for him. But all those guys, it's great to have that competition, but I'd love to have another player that you felt good about being
right.
A star.
I'm with you.
The third guy. I don't think you could roll with him being one of your top three corners next year.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
College holds a mythic place in American culture. On the new Campus Files podcast, we uncover the scandals you won't hear on the campus tours. Find Campus Files on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, so you already started in. You got everybody talking. You've already started making some picks. I wasn't crazy about last week and Tyler Warren. I understand he's a really good player and could help you, but my gosh, we just talked about all the different positions. Like, you're looking for bodies, and don't get me wrong, Durham Smythe's gone, and you're going to need another tight end. But give me the latest on what you're thinking.
Yeah, I think the big domino that I think could really be a tipping point, I think there's two. There's Will Johnson from Michigan, who sounds like the league's cooled on a little bit. He didn't have a great season this past year. Dealt with some minor injury stuff that kept him out for the middle portion of the season. Does he make it to 13? Because if he does, I think that's the intersection of best player available based off of entire body of work at Michigan, with premium position, which they like to care about, with a need on the roster. So I think that's one domino. I'd still be surprised if he gets to 13, but just kind of listening to some of the pulse across the league, not generally perceived that, at least right now, with what the buzz is, to be the top five player that he was a consensus consideration to be at the beginning of the college football season back in August. And the other one is what happens with Bradley Chubb. You know, what's that?
That's a good one. Yeah, that's an interesting one.
Is that a guy that you keep? Is that a guy that you try to trade for whatever you can get? Would there be a market for him with 2 years at $19.5 million in salary, although none of it's guaranteed? Would you post-June first cut him? I think if you post-June first cut him, and I'm not a huge fan of post-June first cuts for where this version of the team is at, but you're talking, it's like $1.5 million in savings versus $18.5 million in savings, and you'd love to get all the savings up front for your first wave of free agency, but savings like that is kind of equivalent to what they got from Xavier Howard last year. That could take care of your rookie draft class. That could take care of your practice squad and your in-season budget. So they have a lot of different avenues with very minimal savings opportunities with Bradley Chubb to move on if they choose to. So if they choose to move on, the edge, the pass rush group, and I know we just took Chop Robinson, but Jalen Phillips is in a contract year. It's a great year for it. It's a loaded class.
Boy, then there's another position that that jumps up on the board you got to take care of. Yeah, I filling all this stuff out. I felt a lot better about the last 2 years roster than I do right now with this group because there's so much work to do. Do you agree with that?
I think you're going to have to bet on some young guys.
Yes.
For sure. I think that there's going to be successes and failures out of that group. I think you maybe have the opportunity to fill out some more mid-level long-term or longer-term starters in free agency than what they got last year, where really it was only a handful of guys got multi-year contracts. There's going to be some gambles and some bets here, and it's where do you want to make them, and in what rooms do you feel like you have enough pieces that you can afford to bet on some depth or potentially go out and get a guy you think's a really good fit that might not have been a great player somewhere else and bet on him being a home run for you in free agency, kind of like what Jonnu Smith and Jordan Brooks were.
Yeah. By the way, there's so much to talk about, but that was a great teaser today, man. I appreciate you coming on, Kyle, and talking a little bit about, well, I'll tell you what, I said it earlier, Chris Greer, you got your work cut out, my man, from free agency to the draft and hitting on some guys if we're going to get this thing caught back up, because we got a lot of guys that we need to come in. Like I said, we talked about all these different positions. Find some players that come in and make an impact right away, for sure. Anyway, Kyle, thank you. Really appreciate it.
Of course, Joe. It's great catching up with you.
Kyle Krabs, Locked On Fins podcast with us this morning as we continue on. Michael Kotze at Choice Mortgage. That man is special. Boy, I'll tell you what. First-time home buyers need a mortgage, want to get the best rates, want to get it done quickly. Great service in getting it done is what Michael Kotze at Choice Mortgage is all about. Self-employed, been declined by the banks. Don't worry. He's got a program for you. I got to tell you, reverse mortgages more popular than ever. If you and your spouse are 62 or older, you qualify. Got all that equity in your home and could really use it as you get close to retirement. Well, let Michael Kotze get that done for you too. Boy, I could go on and on about the things he's doing, but I want you to go to Google Reviews. Check out Choice Mortgage Reviews and what they're saying about Michael Kotze at Choice Mortgage and his 35 years of business here in South Florida getting it done. The man truly has no life. The guy is always working. He works 7 days a week. You can call or text him even on a weekend, 561-441-2730. That's 561-441-2730. MLS 166-254, rates and terms subject to change daily without notice. He's an equal housing lender.